Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to what is being paid attention to, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everyone, to Attention Talk Radio. Today is Friday, February the 19th. It's 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the year 2010. Very excited about today's show. The topic is ADD Coach Training Schools, and with us today in our virtual studio is David Gwork. Before we get into the topic of the day, I just want to make a few announcements. Next Friday, Christian McClanahan is going to be coming on the show talking about Hunter vs. Farmer's theory of ADD, and specifically she's going to share her personal experience as she came close to her ADD, found herself, and kind of share the book that she read with regard to that. So it's going to be a real fun show. Christy's a peer ADD coach up in the Chicago area, so that'll be real exciting. And then March the 5th, Dan Pruitt will be with us talking about ADHD and comorbid conditions, and it'll be fun for the two of us because Dan's going to be speaking at the ADD coaching conference, or ADD coaching organization conference up in Chicago in May. So it'll be a little bit of preview of what he's talking about. So that'll be a lot of fun. But enough of the scheduling stuff. Again, today we're talking about ADD coach training schools, and David Gwork is with us today. David is passionate about serving others who struggle with attention deficit disorder. He's a master certified coach with the International Coaches Federation, the governing body for the coaching profession. He's the founder and president of the ADD Coaching Academy, which I guess started back in 1998 and is the premier comprehensive long-distance ADD coach training program really in the world. The program is designed to teach the essential skills necessary to powerfully coach individuals with attention deficit disorder. Dave was past president of the Attention Deficit Disorder Association from 2003 to 2006, and the Attention Deficit Disorder Association is the world's leading adult ADHD organization. Dave still continues to serve in the executive committee in a variety of roles for that organization. Dave is also on the Professional Advisory Board of the Professional Association of ADHD Coaches, the organization responsible for maintaining the highest standards of ADHD coaching certification in the world. David also has been involved and was a catalyst, along with the Attention Deficit Disorder Association, in working with the U.S. Senate resolution declaring September 7, 2004, National ADHD Awareness Day. Dave's been coaching adults with ADD for over a decade. He's a graduate of Syracuse University, graduated cum laude. So with all that, welcome to the show, Dave.
Well, thanks, Jeff. It's glad to be here and be on this new pioneering work that you're doing here. I'm really excited to be here.
Oh, I'm excited about it, too, and I'm excited about the show today. Dave, I think the key today is I want to talk about ADD coaching schools, but specifically I'd like you to speak at first, if you can, about the difference between coaching, ADD coaching, and just regular coaching, just personal life coaching. So can you talk about those differences a little bit?
Well, there's a lot of them, but I think that we can start from a base of understanding that you really do have to understand each individual's ADHD before you can really effectively coach them, because we know that they don't understand it. The research we've conducted over the last 3 years shows that consistently people that come to us having been identified with ADHD and or a secondary condition will tell you that they truly understand it when, in fact, they don't. They don't understand the situations that create an inability for them to pay attention. There's a perfect example. They can't even... If you don't know what you're paying attention to, or you don't know how you pay attention to and what situations you can pay attention, then life becomes a struggle of being able to identify and register information in your brain. And yet, The other piece is that people who don't have ADHD can do that quite easily, but people with ADHD, in certain situations, they have a great ability to sustain focus at a very high level, and in other situations, the harder they want to pay attention to, and especially a boring situation, the harder they try to pay attention to it, the more their brain will completely shut down. So if an ADHD coach is not aware of these things and is not well trained to understand the specific kinds of situations a person with ADHD struggles with, just in the area of attention alone, and we're not even talking about the other challenges, but just that one alone can be a huge, huge challenge, because if you can't pay attention to the world around you, you can't even create a memory, because you have to register it first, and registration requires the ability to pay attention. So a good ADHD coach is going to listen to the language and the patterns and the situations that the person with ADHD is struggling with, and then begin the process of empowering them to understand it's not enough to know ADHD. You have to know your own particular brand of ADHD and how it shows up.
I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, for those listeners out there, if you're interested, back in, I think it was October, we did a show on the many different versions of ADD. We had Dan Brewitt on, who's going to be on in 2 weeks, and we talked about the different types of ADD and the different idea for inattentive and regular. You need to get 6 symptoms out of 9, and we went through all the permutations of that. And, you know, there's, I think there's 18,000 different versions of it if you take all the different combinations of symptoms that can be. So I just want to put an exclamation point is what you're saying is that ADD is a function of, they're all different, so you need to understand it, and you need to understand your own.
Yeah, well, and if you think of all the different situations that we encounter on a daily basis, ADHD is very situational. In one situation, a person with ADHD can be appeared to paying attention with what we refer to as a hyperfocus, that super intense level of concentration, and then in another situation can't pay attention at all, and the harder they try to pay attention, the more they shut down. That's why a lot of people with ADHD are always misunderstood, because how come you can watch a baseball coming at you at 90 miles an hour, but you can't pay attention to me in math class? You're just lazy, you're just crazy, you're stupid, whatever it is, the label that they come up with, because the rest of the world doesn't understand it. But just as importantly, Jeff, are the people who have been diagnosed with it don't understand it. And there's a lot of reasons for that too, because if you don't understand it and you're going in for a diagnosis and you haven't worked with an ADHD coach, many times the challenging, impairing symptoms that they think are going on in their lives are the ones they report to the diagnostician. And they may say, well, you know, I'm very depressed and sad, when in fact they're not depressed and sad, they're just very frustrated that they can't pay attention. So they tell the physician or the psychologist, whoever's diagnosing them, so they say, I'm really sad all the time, when in fact, that's not really the issue. The issue is they can't pay attention and become sad.
It's, you know, I just kind of like to pause and illustrate. One of the things about this show that I found it is I always want to highlight how what's obvious is really a function of what you're paying attention to.
Yep.
And what you just said was powerful, because if the person with ADD is paying attention to just the frustration and anxiety, that's actually what they're communicating with the doctor, as opposed to what might be obvious, is they're having a hard time paying attention.
Yeah.
And those are byproducts of it. So what you're dealing with sometimes, it might not necessarily be what you need to be dealing with, because you're paying attention to the wrong thing.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point, Jeff. I think that, and the fact that we can't make the assumption that just because something comes out of somebody's mouth is it what they actually mean. A lot of ADDers I've worked with in over the years, and you know this about you and I, Jeff, is we're verbal processors, and we process out loud. And many times we're not even aware of the thoughts that are swirling around in our head, because we're so busy paying attention to so many different things, we don't even pause to pay attention to what the most dominant program in our mind is in any particular moment. And sometimes we have to have somebody actually mirror it back to us. There's been times when I've actually mirrored back verbatim what a client has said to me and repeated it back to them, and they've said, I didn't say that. And I said, well, very compassionately, I said, oh, yeah, you did. I wrote it down. And they'll come back and say, well, that's not what I meant. Well, what did you mean?
Yep.
Well, that's huge, because if you say one thing and you mean something else, how's that person on the other side supposed to know?
Yep.
And that's just one kind of attention that shows up because they're not consciously aware. When we're talking about attention, there's being otherwise attracted to something else, and there's being attracted to what's in the moment. The question is, which is the appropriate attention in the moment, and who makes those decisions? We can get into a very philosophical discussion, but the bottom line is, when we're talking about quality of life, Jeff, if you can't pay attention to your boss at work and you fall asleep at work, or if you can't pay attention to your teacher in school, that's going to impair the quality of your life. And the what we know from research, Nora Volkow just came out with an 8-year study of something that we at the Academy have been doing for 12 years with a simple model around interest. We've always referred to ADHD as a deficit of interest. Well, in Nora Volkow's research, they took people over an 8-year period that had never even been treated with medications. That's why the study took so long. And what they found is these people consistently, if they were not automatically engaged in what was in front of them, they couldn't pay attention because of that part of the brain called the prefrontal cortex. So this comes up all the time, that ADHD is a challenge of interest, and it is a challenge of getting the person automatically engaged in an event, situation, topic of conversation. But like you said, Jeff, if it's obvious to someone else, it may not be obvious to the person with ADHD because they're not consciously aware. And what we have to do as coaches is begin the process of empowering them to begin to identify those situations where they can pay attention and those situations that they can pay attention, use their talents and strengths to get tasks and goals and all kinds of things completed so that, you know, they're not over-promising and under-delivering.
Something that you said earlier, and you kind of hinted at a couple things, like, I don't know, 5 minutes ago you were describing a situation. You said certain situations, ADDers can exhibit a high level of attention.
Yeah.
And then later you talked about, you know, you were discussing, like, they don't know how they can pay attention, but they can pay attention to, you know, a baseball coming out 100 miles an hour and be able to hit it.
Yeah.
And in work that I've done, and I think I've heard you speak to that, there are some situations that those with attention deficit disorder don't have a problem paying attention to. Is that accurate from your perspective?
Oh, absolutely. It's the paradox of ADHD. Anybody that I know with ADHD, if you want to find out where they pay attention, just find out the things they're super interested in. Find out the areas of topic conversation they're passionate about or they have a natural propensity to be attracted to or are automatically engaged, as the research that Nora Volkow put out, and you'll find a person that can hyper-focus. Now, paying attention with a hyper-focus leads to all other kinds of challenges, and that's a challenge that I think that all people with ADHD are challenged with, and that's transition.
Mm-hmm.
So that when you're paying attention to something that's highly interesting and highly stimulating, because you know, our brains work on stimulation, and the person with ADHD needs a lot more stimulation, needs a lot more of it than a person who doesn't. But the fact of the matter is, people that don't have ADHD take for granted that their ability to shift in and out of tasks and subjects and tasks that are very interesting to them is very natural and second nature. For a person with ADHD, if we're really engaged in something, and I'm in the middle of writing something or I'm in the middle of being on the internet and somebody says to me or anyone with ADHD, Dave, you got 5 minutes to get off and get ready for the party while you're really super engaged, that takes a lot of physical and mental energy to just stop, pause, take your energy out of that. We actually tend to feel it. People with ADHD can feel that transition and that volition that they have to use to shift out of what they're paying attention to something else. And it's very hard. It's very, very much a struggle. And it can often be painful if the transition time is not given. So even with something that we're very interested in and we're paying attention to and we're able to sustain focus on it, there's always this challenge of getting wherever our attention is and shifting that attention out of whatever we're into something else. And so attention is a very it's a very complicated thing, and people take it for granted that don't have ADHD, that they can pay attention whenever they just you know, snap their fingers. Well, with people with ADHD, we have to be consciously aware of those situations where we can pay attention and those that we can't, because if we don't, we're running ourselves into a problem that can only get worse. So we really have to identify those situations, and I think we're different in that respect.
It is, and, you know, for the listeners that are out there, I actually went through a coach training program. I did two of them at the same time. One was the Coaches Training Institute, and I also went through Dave's program.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, Dave, you had mentioned looking for patterns, and that those with attention deficit disorder can pay attention, hyper-focus in some situations. And one of the things that I've learned as a coach, and that is not so obvious, I think, to some other people, that's obvious to me, is that ADDers actually don't have – there's patterns in their life. There's certain things that they can pay attention to all the time.
Yep.
There's certain things, like, for example, if and I do believe that you've coached some professional baseball players, you know, the adrenaline rush and the having the ball come by, they can pay attention to that all the time. Areas of interest, there's certain markers that they always pay attention to. And what's interesting is what I find is many of them don't pay attention to the reoccurring patterns of what they pay attention to. So they just think, I can't pay attention to anything.
That's right. That's
but
right.
If they pay attention to the patterns, what I find is that they do tend to always pay attention to certain things, and they always have a hard time paying attention to others. And it's when you can isolate the markers and understand those characteristics that empowers them to manage it at that point in time.
That's a great point, Jeff. I think that patterns, there's different kinds of patterns. There's negative patterns that immobilize a person, and then there's positive patterns of recurring strength or recurring success. And I find that a lot of ADDers are not aware of either one of them in the beginning of the coaching process. That first, if you know that there's something that you can pay attention to that you automatically are engaged in and you will consistently result in excellence, you know, that's something you want to pay attention to. Well, unfortunately, it's not like anybody sat down with a person with ADHD and said, are you aware of the fact that you do these patterns exceptionally well consistently? And even when you do, because they've not been exposed to that, they don't tend to embrace it too quickly. So there's the first positive pattern of here's what you do exceptionally well consistently. Are you aware of that? And two things tend to happen, Jeff. One is they just assume that everybody else does that well, which is not true. This is their unique pattern. And the other thing is they don't understand that this is really part of their brain wiring, that the natural recurring patterns of success are your talents. Now, when they know, like a baseball player, an athlete knows that there's certain things that they have a natural talent for consistently, then they're going to work with a coach to get the skills, knowledge, and experience to turn that natural talent into a strength.
Yep.
And pay attention to it. But you're absolutely right, Jeff. They're not aware of the patterns of where they can pay attention and the patterns where they can't.
It's funny because you're describing all this stuff, and I'm just for the listeners to break this down practically, to accent what Dave's saying a little bit different is, I worked with ADDers before that never paid attention to it, but as a coach, I listen to them, and you hear like I've worked with a few of them before, like where were you before a test, and what were you studying? And it's funny because I listen to what they're doing, like exactly where they are, and I've had some of them before where they were moving and pacing and stuff like that, and they never really paid attention to it. But when you start saying, it sounds to me like it's easier for you to focus if you're up pacing and you're doing some stuff, and they go, well, yeah. And as you start to identify that pattern, you can say, hey, listen, it sounds to me like it's always easier for you to pay attention if you're moving, and it's in the moment that they catch that pattern and say, wait a second, they kind of run the mental experiment, and they reflect back on all the times that they were moving, and they get the aha that that's a pretty powerful thing to know, hey, when I'm stuck, when I'm having a hard time paying attention, I need to find a way to move because I know that helps me pay attention.
That's right. And this is where the coach, an ADHD coach, is invaluable because they're beginning the process of making the ADHD client aware of just what you're saying, Jeff. If I don't know that when I get bored I need to move around because in school I was punished for moving around, and that's my natural way. I'm a kinesthetic learner that when I'm bored I need to move around. But in school they kept kicking me out of the classroom every time I moved around because I couldn't help it or my client does, then they think that's a bad thing. They've developed this belief that moving around is a bad thing. Another example is if you've never paid attention to what time means, how long it takes you to do a particular task, or how long it takes you to get dressed, or how long it takes you to get from place to place, learning about time is a new concept. So we help our clients pay attention to, let's start keeping track of how long it takes you to do things. And this may be the first time in a person's life, 50, 60, 70 years of their life, where somebody has brought up the idea, do you know how long it takes you to do that? No. Well,
yep.
I never paid attention to it before. Just like you're saying, Jeff, I never paid attention to how I learned and how
yep.
I did things. So it's a very important point, because a lot of their strengths and success and ability to have success in life is exactly what you're saying, Jeff. The obvious things that others see in them have not been acknowledged, and now they need to be.
Absolutely. And you brought up something here that I know you're a big proponent of, paying attention to what you're paying attention to.
Yeah.
And I'd like to kind of get into that in a little bit more depth, if you don't mind, but
sure.
after we go to a break. So before we go to a break, can you let the listeners know how they could contact you or learn more about the ADD Coaching Academy?
Sure, Jeff. Thanks. If you're interested in any of our upcoming educational programs or coach training programs, we have both, you can go to www.addca.com. ADDCA stands for ADD Coach Academy. So www.addca.com.
Excellent. And then we'll be right back after this message.
This is Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. When you're stuck, what do you pay attention to? If you're paying attention to the same logic or level of thinking that created the problem, maybe you need to pay attention to something else. DIG Coaching excavates outcomes by paying attention to what you pay attention to. After all, if you're paying attention to the wrong thing, you're likely paying attention to the wrong solution. To learn more about finding your obvious solution, go to digcoaching.com and download the free audio file, Finding the Obvious Solutions When They Aren't So Obvious. Don't delay, do it today.
If you have a topic that you want covered or question answered, just email us at info@digcoaching.com.
Be part of the show. Dial 646-652-4409. And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. Again, we have David Gwerk in our studio today talking about ADD coach training schools and specifically the difference right now between ADD coaching and regular coaching. And before we went to the break, Dave, I know you're a big fan of working with those that have ADD and have them pay attention to what they pay attention to.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that a little bit more,
what
that is and how it works?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. When we're talking about pay attention to what they're paying attention to, a lot of human beings, not just ADDers, if we define ADD as a much more impairing quality of inattention, impulsivity, and hyperactivity, at some point all people are challenged with that stuff, but with the ADDer, the impairment of inattention, impulsivity, and hyperactivity really does impair their quality of life. And as a race of species, human beings are not very good at paying attention to what they pay attention to, because it requires a pause. And by nature, we've grown up in a world with a pervasive belief system that we have to perform, and we have to perform quickly. I've actually had people tell me that they thought that their level of intelligence was measured by the speed at which they responded to things. And we do it fast. We become human doings. Do, 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 do. And in this doing around performance and doing it fast, we, rather than pausing to celebrate, pausing to really take in and be present with what we are focused on or thinking about or looking at, we've become so hyper-focused on completion and performance that we've done the doing thing without the being thing. And we're not human doings, we're human beings. And one of the things that is so important is for people with ADHD to learn to pause and pay attention to their present moment and the clues that are provided by your body and your mind, because every invisible thought that starts in the subconscious of the mind or is invisible in any part of the mind eventually manifests through a feeling or an emotion in the body. And we as human beings don't pay attention to our bodies either, and the body is one of the best radar signals that we have, that if we learn to pause and pay attention to the signals in our body, whether it's pain, struggle, agitation, anxiety, stress, or peace, we can actually begin to identify the first signal that allows us to identify is what we are paying attention to serving us well. If I have a horrible feeling in the gut of my stomach, prior to my ADHD, and many of my clients would tell me they would just push it right back down and just continue on to the next thing, or they try to fix it in the moment, not really even knowing that there was disharmony. So two things that I know are really pivotal in a person with ADHD's ability to move forward is, number one, to identify where there is disharmony in their body and trace it back to a thought, because the ancestor to every action is a thought. And the other thing that psychology has taught us is when we have an emotion or feeling in our body and we can label that emotion, I'm angry, I'm upset, I'm resilient, I'm a good person, whatever it is, that just by identifying the feeling that we have in that moment, we diminish its power over us. So think about a person with ADHD. They're not paying attention to the world around them. They're not paying attention to the signals in their body, and they're not identifying it. And when they try to identify the ideas swirling around in their head, they're bombarded with so many thoughts they can't even identify one of them. They need to get the thoughts out of their brain in the invisible part and onto some format, whether it's a piece of paper, somebody mirroring it to them. Because when we can identify what we're paying attention to in any given moment, we are in essence identifying the most dominant electricity in our brain, because our brain works on electricity. So find the thought and find what you're paying attention to and what kind of thought it is and identify it. Now you begin to identify what kind of electricity you're creating in your brain, and that electricity eventually gets converted into the neurochemicals that allow us to function, like dopamine, which is involved in ADHD, which allows us to pay attention, which allows us to control our impulsivity and cognitive and physical hyperactivity. And it all begins with the very simple process of paying attention to what we pay attention to. But nobody taught us this. Nobody
Yep.
sat down and said, this is step one, what you have to do. This is what you have to pay attention to. We were just modeled. And by the way, Jeff, human beings are the only species in the world that don't have to have the direct experience of something to integrate it into their lives. They just have to view it even secondhand. So people who modeled working 7 days a week without a pause, people who said work needs to be a struggle, work needs to be pain, if that was modeled for us, what we paid attention to was work needs to be painful. And
mm-hmm.
so when we started enjoying our work and being fulfilled, those of us who paid attention to most of our lives of watching our parents struggle and be in pain and work believed and brought that experience into their lives, well, I need to pay attention to work being a struggle, even though I'm loving my work
yep.
and can't
yep.
even enjoy that.
Yep. Well, Dave, we're going to have you back on the show because I think we've got about a minute left, and I just got so much more I want to talk to you about. But
yeah.
to wrap up what you had said a second ago in a practical way, it's interesting because ADD is sometimes it's as simple as paying attention to the fact that you're hyper-focusing on a negative thought. And the moment
yeah.
that you notice that you're paying attention to that, you're now at choice.
Yes,
is it
right.
serving me to focus on this negative thought, or is there something better I can do? And that empowers you at that point in time to choose to continue or to choose something, do something else. And that is very powerful by
yeah.
paying attention to what's there. And so, David, we got just about 30 seconds left. Can you let everybody know how to get in contact with you again?
Sure. If you want to find out about more about our educational or coach training programs, you can just go to our website, which is www.addca.com.
David, I'd like to thank you very much for coming on the show. This has been a great session today. I hope everyone out there is enjoying it, and we'll have to have you on again, okay?
All right, Jeff. Thanks so much.
Yep. Everybody have a great week. Take care. Bye.